Grazie. Thank you for joining us during this segment of Our World in Music. Our World in Music, exclusively here on WNZK. And now, we request that you change your radio dial to 690, as WNZK begins with its daytime broadcasting. This is WNZK, Dearborn Heights, Detroit, your ethnic superstation at 690 days, 680 nights.
This is Radio Ballady, broadcast every Friday here at WNZK Radio, 690 AM, hosted by syndicated columnist Ray Hanania and Layla Al-Husseini. Get information on show guests and topics by visiting RadioBallady.com. We want to hear your views. Call in during the show by dialing 248-557-3300. And now, Radio Ballady.
And good morning and welcome to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio. It is 8 o'clock in Detroit, 7 o'clock in Chicago, December 7th, 2012, Friday. Radio Ballady is broadcast on WNZK AM 690 every Friday and is part of the radio network set up by Layla Al-Husseini, who broadcasts Good Morning Michigan, the award-winning journalist, every Monday through Thursday at 8 a.m. at WNZK AM 690. Radio Ballady is brought to you by Zied Brothers Importing at Zied.com, Jake's Candy, Icon Computers at MyIconComputers.com, the law offices of attorney Stephen Lagana at LaganaLaw.com, and the law offices of Jumana K. Ruz at JumanaKRuz.com. We also are supported by the American Muslim Center, MC Gold TV, Sabeel Media, the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, Life for Relief, and the Dearborn Free Press, and, of course, by our many, many listeners. As you know, every Friday we try to look at some of the issues going on. We want to hear what you have to say, so we always want to encourage you to call in at 248-557-3300, 248-557-3300, and we'd love to talk with you about any of the issues that we're going to be discussing. I'm just typing to James in the studio over there, just letting him know what we're going to be doing. And it's so hard to do everything all at one time, but I appreciate it. The big news, I don't know, it seems like Egypt is going down the tubes. And I'm not sure if you've been following along. President Morsi wanted to, who was elected. I mean, see, there is a difference between Mubarak and Morsi. Morsi was elected in an election. Mubarak was never elected. There was no real free elections. Nobody could run. You know, people that wanted to run were prevented from running. They were arrested. It was a joke. But this last election was an open election. People voted. Morsi won. He is the president of Egypt. When he took office, the military then quickly stepped in and tried to prevent him from, you know, using any of the powers of the presidency. And then the judiciary, which was appointed by Mubarak, the judiciary was never elected. They wanted to block some of his powers. So he moved ahead to try and reinforce some of his powers to overcome the obstacles of the Mubarak-controlled judiciary, the Supreme Court, the court system. And in doing that, though, a lot of people who were unhappy with the election, you know, their candidates didn't win. And, you know, that's one of the big problems in the Arab community, it seems, and in the Arab world. If we don't get our way, if we don't get 100%, we will never compromise. You know, in elections, when I voted for Obama, I really didn't want to vote for Obama, but I did vote for Obama. I'm not happy with Obama. I think he's a big disappointment. But if Romney had won, I wouldn't have gone to the street and started protests to object or try to curtail his powers. I would have done it through the political system. There are people that represent my view, And I would work with them to reinforce them, to get the – there would be protests. I think protests are good. Violence is not good. Violence was, you know, expected during the Mubarak dictatorship. But it's not a dictatorship. And, you know, people can't just go back to the streets and start destroying things just because they don't like what happened in an election. That's the problem. It's an election. You accept the election results, and then when the president's term ends, you go to the polls and vote a new person in office. You don't use violence to protest. But a lot of the protesters in Egypt, sadly to say, at least, I don't know, it appears that way to me, they didn't get what they want with violence. So they decided to go back with violence and try to get what they want. It just doesn't seem fair. So we can talk a little bit about that if you want. What's your feeling about Egypt? What's going on over there? The human rights group in Israel and Palestine has issued a statement today saying that Israel violated the laws of war when it killed 12 civilians in its airstrike during its attack against Palestinians in Gaza. Israel claimed that the Palestinians were firing rockets into southern Israel, which is somewhat true, but not true. And Israel said it had to launch a war on Gaza to stop the rocket fire. Of course, Israel was firing rockets into the Gaza Strip to begin with, provoking the people who live in Gaza to fire rockets back at Israel. And I think it's pretty clear to everybody that Israel intentionally attacked Gaza. It provoked the war so that, and it does this at every presidential election, apparently. It goes into Gaza and kills women and children there, because of the 200 Palestinians killed, almost 70% of them were men, women, and children, civilians. Well, Human Rights Watch had put out a statement stating that in November, the Israeli Air Forces attacked the home of a family of which included 10 people, women and children, and two other civilians. There were 10 family members in the Dalou family. They were women and children. And there were two other civilians who were there. The Israelis said that militants, quote-unquote, were hiding inside there and decided to blow up the house. Now, 12 civilians were killed, murdered by the Israeli Air Force. There was no attacks from that house against Israel. Israel targeted that building. They didn't care who was in it. Their information, whether it was accurate or not, alleged that there were two militants that were in the house, and they decided they wanted to kill those militants. So they figure, we'll just kill everybody, because that is the Israeli policy. We're going to get rid of, remember when they murdered Sheikh Yassin? I think it was like in 2001, they blew him up, firing a missile at him. This is a cripple who was sitting in a wheelchair being pushed around by one of his aides. 20 people were around him, including children, and the Israeli military fired a rocket at him and killed him, and also killed 8 other civilians and wounded, I think, like 30. I don't know. To me, it sounds like a war crime. And now with the upgrade to the Palestinian delegation to the United Nations that gives them non-member state status, they might be able to bring this case to the International Criminal Court and try Israel for war crimes. Now, Israel, of course, can try the Palestinians for war crimes. But I'm going to tell you what. Right now, Palestinians are tried for war crimes outside of the International Criminal Court. They're tried by the Israelis and the American news media. So the best thing that can happen, in other words, they're going to accuse the Palestinians of war crimes and they're going to continue to do it. But instead of doing it in the rigged kangaroo court of the Israeli and U.S. political and media system, the Israelis will have to take their charges to the International Criminal Court, too, if they want. And, of course, Israel, like many things, is hypocritical because it's not a member. It doesn't recognize the International Criminal Court. Just like Israel doesn't recognize the United Nations or the International Nuclear Association Watchdog Group that, you know, that everybody is a member of, and that, you know, has caused a lot of problems for Iran. Iran is a member of that association, and they're required to disclose their nuclear weaponry to that group. But Israel is not a member of it, so it has been able to hide its nuclear weapons. That's how Israel lives in its hypocrisy. In Chicago, there's an interesting story going on in Chicago, too. This is a third story, and we can talk about any of these. Egypt, what's happening in the Gaza. And by the way, before we leave Gaza, I should point out that Khaled Mashal is going to return to the Gaza. He's been out of there for 45 years. I mean, it is kind of, I'm in a way, I'm happy. He's banned from occupied Palestine by the occupiers, and he's going to come back, and he's going to be greeted as a hero. He was the leader and is the spokesperson or leader of Hamas. He was based in Syria. He left Syria. Hamas, really, you got to give them credit. They stood toe-to-toe with the Israeli military. And even though the Israelis killed some 200 Palestinians and the Palestinians only killed six Israelis, and not that anybody being killed is good. I wish nobody had been killed. But the fact is, you can't cry about six people being killed when the other side kills 200s and not kill and not cry about those 200. And that's what the Israelis do. They cry about the six Israelis who were killed. And then they call all the three-year-olds who were murdered by the U.S.-funded air jets provided by the United States killed during the Israeli attack. They call them terrorists. So, you know, the Israelis can't have it both ways. But Mashal is going to come back, and I have to say that Israel's policies have pretty much made Hamas the only player in town. We have no other choice but to support Hamas. There is no other leadership anymore. The Israelis have shamed, embarrassed, undermined, and destroyed the Palestine National Authority and the moderate members, the Fatah organization, the PLO, through their through Israel's broken promises, through Israel's lying, and through Israel's practices of stealing more land. So it's, you know, it's a little bit of a change. I always had hoped that the moderate side of the Palestinians would be able to strengthen themselves, but Israel has done everything they could to destroy that. And now we're left with Hamas. And as much as I don't support everything that Hamas stands for, I certainly don't support their use of terrorism and suicide bombings. I'm against that. It's horrible. But on the other side, there's a hope that Hamas is going to become more centrist. And they clearly have become the representatives of the Palestinian people. And it's very hard to stand up and denounce them when that's all that the Palestinians have. Or because they're there because the Israelis, who helped found them in the 1970s, have made it almost impossible for anybody else to stand up and represent the Palestinian people. So if the Israelis don't like the fact that Hamas is probably going to be the official representatives of the Palestinians, that's their tough luck. That's their problem. I mean, it's pretty clear that Palestine and Israel are headed toward a major conflict, more turmoil, more disasters, more deaths. The Israelis do not want peace. They do not want to compromise. They do not want to sit at the table. They do not want to suspend their expansion of their settlements, which are racist because the settlements are not, they don't build settlements for Muslims. The Israelis don't build settlements for Christians. They built settlements for their Jewish citizens in the occupied territories, and that is racist. I'm not sure if racism is the correct word. It is clearly discriminatory in a religious way. It's not apartheid, although it's apartheid-like. And the Israelis have become probably more extremist, more rejectionist, more anti-peace than anybody. And the only thing that protects them is their very good media propaganda, which is far better than what comes from the Arab community, which is, you know, sadly, burdened by poor leaders who really have no experience in politics. You know, in the Arab community, you know, we don't pick people based on talent to lead. We pick them based on who their family ties are, how old they are. You know, my grandfather was the leader of my family. You could not argue with him, even if about any issue. That's, you know, we have that paternal system where we just listen to the oldest and longest living person, regardless of whether they're right or wrong. There is no democracy. We don't really have democracy in the Arab community, which is why Egypt is going through the throes of turmoil. One final topic is this one in Chicago. It's really kind of sad. You know, we've talked about Rahm Emanuel. He's the mayor of Chicago. He happens to be Jewish. That doesn't bother me. I could care less what he is. He succeeded Mayor Richard M. Daley, who was in office, I think, 22 years. Mayor Emanuel's father was one of the leaders of the Irgun terrorist organization that murdered and massacred Christians and Muslims in Palestine in the 1940s. It was declared a terrorist organization, and all its members were declared terrorists. Now, of course, you know, that part of the conflict is over, and, you know, people pretend like, you know, what was terrorism in the Israeli side is no longer terrorism anymore. Rahm Emanuel is not his father, so you give him the benefit of the doubt. But Rahm Emanuel clearly is very anti-Arab. Chicago has about 100,000 Arabs who live in Chicago, and including their children who attend the Chicago public schools. Emanuel has a historic aversion against Arabs because he served in the Israeli military. Now, he didn't serve in the American military. He served in the Israeli military. He, you know, you can't get a straight answer from him. He won't talk to anybody that asks him about it. But they have put out some, you know, through their friendly media, claims that, oh, he wore a uniform to help repair trucks, you know, at a, you know, military base in northern Israel. He really didn't carry a gun, which I find hard to believe, but that's what they claim. But you can't ask them to find out what the truth is because they're trying to fudge it. But the point is that he volunteered to help the Israeli military. Now, that's offensive to me on two levels. On one level, it's offensive to me as an Arab. He took sides in the conflict, and he was Israeli. I guess he had dual citizenship. I don't know if he still does. We can't find out because he won't answer any questions. But it's also offensive to me on another level. I served in the U.S. military. Many Arabs Americans have served in the U.S. military. I served during the Vietnam War. I have an honorable discharge. 2.5 years fighting to defend this country, ready to go to Vietnam. Fortunately, I didn't have to go, but I was ready and trained to go. And then after the war ended, I served 10 years in the Illinois Air National Guard. So I did my service not to a foreign country. I didn't serve in the Palestinian military. I served in the American military. So I guess it would be insulting if I refused to serve in the American military, but I did serve in the Palestinian military. Wouldn't that be insulting to Americans? Rahm Emanuel serves in the military of a foreign country, but not in the military of the country where he has been elected the chief executive officer of the second largest city, 3 million people in the United States, in the city of Chicago. So that's the background. And then this week, Emanuel announced something called the Office of New Americans. Oh, it sounds really good, doesn't it? Basically, the Office of New Americans is to help people who are, new immigrants to this country, citizens or not, to get involved in the city, to help them create, and the city's going to help create and expand immigrant-owned businesses to develop and attract talent from the immigrant community and to, kind of tell the world that Chicago is an international city. And he talks about how there are 140 countries and 100, that the residents of Chicago come from 140 countries and we speak more than 100 languages, blah, blah, blah. And then he goes and appoints, about 100 people and to these different committees that he set up to deal with this new organization that he calls, Office of New Americans, ONA, Office of New Americans. And only out of all these, it looks like about 100 people. Only three of them are Muslim organizations. There are no Arab organizations. We must have 40 Arab organizations in Chicago. Not one of those Arab organizations was invited to participate. They did invite three Muslim organizations, and I'm happy for them. The Council of Islamic Organizations of Greater Chicago is represented by Ahlam Jabara. She's the interim executive director. She's a great person. I've worked with her. I think she's phenomenal. And she happens to be Arab, but she wasn't invited as an Arab. He invited the Council of Islamic Organizations to be part of his new organization, Office of New Americans. Great. So now the Council of Islamic Organizations is a member. The other group is the Muslim Women's Resource Center. They invited them, which I think is great. I'm glad they invited them. They should invite them. And then they invited CARE Chicago, who's headed by Ahmed Rehab, who is a friend. He's the executive director. I believe he's Egyptian, and he is Arab. But he wasn't invited as an Arab. He was invited as a Muslim. CARE is a Council on American-Islamic Relations. It's not the Arab Relations Organization. My criticism isn't that these three people were appointed. My criticism is that, first of all, I didn't hear anybody in our community screaming about the fact that where were the Arab organizations? Where was the recognition of the Arab organizations? When you look at the Hispanic representation, all the Hispanic groups are represented. When you look at all of them, Jewish American groups, they're represented. There are all kinds of groups that are represented. But no Arab organizations are represented. This comes in the week following, in the year or two following his election, where he has pretty much pulled the rug out from all of the activities of the American Arab community. We don't have Arabesque, our annual summer festival, anymore that was sponsored by the city of Chicago. It just mysteriously disappeared. The activists said they couldn't organize it themselves anymore. And they needed a lot of money. The city of Chicago puts up hundreds of millions of dollars to sponsor ethnic organizations and ethnic activities in Chicago for other ethnic groups. But when it comes to the Arabs, we have nothing. We have no support. He eliminated the Arab Advisory Commission. He got rid of it. That was our only organization. Whether they were good or not is besides the point. But it was our only place where we could go if we had a complaint. And now that's gone. There are no Arabs invited as Arabs to events. November was Arab Heritage Month. I didn't see anything that Mayor Emanuel did to recognize Arab Heritage Month. There was no public publicity for it, because all the instruments of the Arab community in government have been destroyed by Mayor Rahm Emanuel. So we can talk a little bit about that, too. And, you know, it's always a sad thing. You know, sitting here in Chicago, I'm always so envious and so happy with how successful the Arab community is in Detroit, in the Detroit region. And it's disappointing to me that Chicago, for some reason, is in total chaos. Our organizations are just, you know, we just have nothing. And these groups that reach out to Rahm Emanuel to work with him, closing their eyes to the fact that he discriminates against the Arab community is somewhat insulting to me. It bothers me. There was a group from Detroit that, you know, they got a letter from the mayor. And I guess they, you know, you can't blame them for not knowing that the mayor hates Arabs because they don't live in Chicago. But I will tell you, it was a little offensive. If there's somebody in Detroit who hates Arabs or Muslims, I don't want to invite them on the radio show, and I don't want to talk to them. You're listening to Radio Ballady here at WNZK AM 690. Our number, if you want to talk about any of these things, what's happening in Egypt, what is happening in the Gaza, or even the problems, the political problems we're facing right here in Chicago with our new mayor who hates us. Because I'll tell you, Rahm Emanuel does hate Arabs as much as George Bush hated black people. They're allowed to say that, but when an Arab says somebody hates them, we're pilloried and we're criticized and we're attacked. But I'm not going to let them do that. I'm not going to let them shut me up. I'm going to talk about it, and whether people want to listen or not is up to you. But I'm not going to sit back and let these people steamroll over us without us going without a fight, and that's what they're going to get. Our number is 248-557-3300. We'd love for you to call in and talk about any of these issues. I don't know, maybe you're having the same problems in Detroit. Maybe you have a feeling, though, about what's happening in Egypt, or maybe you agree or disagree with me that, you know, Hamas is really now pretty much the only real voice that Palestinians have, thanks to the Israelis. 248-557-3300. We're going to take a quick break here at Radio Ballady, and hopefully when we come back, we'd like to hear some of your views to join us in some of this discussion. I'm Ray Hanania. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313-565-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org.
Whether it's Makluba, Warak Dawali, Tabbouleh, Hummus, Mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad, the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Jake's Candy, 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania. Our number 248 557-3300 if you want to call in. I'm reading this story, and I can't help but to cheer Khaled Mashal, who walked across the border, I think, this morning, which would have been last night, our time, for his first ever trip in something like 45 years. I think he left there as an 11-year-old kid, and he finally returned. And he was welcomed not only by the leaders of Hamas, but also by Palestinian orphan kids whose parents were murdered by the Israelis. Part of his rise, I think, has to do with the democracy that's taking place in Egypt. Not everybody's happy with that democracy, but, you know, the truth is nobody's ever happy. But, you know, when you don't like a president, like if Romney had been elected, I wouldn't have turned to protests in the street to destroy everything. I would have, become active. And I would have organized, and then we'd prepare for the next election. That's how democracy is. But this is the first election in Egypt, so, you know, you expect them to kind of become a little more militant. But Mashal's rise and Hamas's rise has a lot to do with the rise of democracy in Egypt and the fact that the people in Egypt elected Morsi to be the president, and he's part of the Muslim Brotherhood. And the Muslim Brotherhood is, a political organization in Egypt. People have called it all kinds of names just because it happens to be Islamic and has the word Muslim in its title. But, you know, we have religious parties here in the United States also. And I will bet that if this had been a time when we were occupied, if the United States were occupied, Christian organizations would have organized resistance and used violence to get their voices across. So you can't sit here in the United States and say, oh, the Muslim Brotherhood used violence. They may have used violence before, but you got to remember that it's not used in a democracy. It's not used when you have elections. The violence should end. The protesters have a right to protest, but they have no right to, vandalize things. They have no right to attack people. The biggest problem in Egypt, I think, is that, you know, these protesters turn on women. From both sides, these women at protests have been attacked and raped repeatedly, you know, at all these protests at Tahrir Square. And that's very disturbing to me it's not that it's tolerated because not everybody tolerates it, but that it happens so often. And it really is offensive, you know, to me. That more than anything, I mean, I'm not so upset about Morsi trying to use the system that's in place to undermine the Mubarak appointees who are built into the Egyptian government. He's trying to stop them from destroying democracy because, you know, Morsi, for whatever, whether you agree with Muslim Brotherhood or not, represents democracy in Egypt. And I think that rather than fighting him, we should be supporting him and we should be working with him. We shouldn't be encouraging more violence. We shouldn't be encouraging more destruction. I know that the Coptic Christians, I have a lot of friends that are Coptic Christians, and I know that they're protesting. And, you know, it just, I don't think that they should be so supportive or turn their, you know, eyes away from, you know, protests that result in violence. They should be very careful when they do their protests to prevent violence because that's the kind of thing that destroys democracy. And, you know, and that's what makes it so hard for democracy to actually work in the Arab world. It's very difficult. We're so used to dictatorships doing everything. We're trained that way, even as victims of dictatorships. We watch the dictatorships. We learn from the dictatorships. We do what the dictatorships do. We're trained by the dictatorships, even as victims. So when it's our turn, all we know is what we watch the dictatorships do. So we end up turning toward violence. And violence is the wrong thing to do. Violence is only justified when the people you are working with are using violence against you, as in the case, for example, of the Israelis. In some cases, the violence wasn't violence for the sake of violence. It was violence to defend the people from Israel's violence. Israel uses violence. Sometimes the only way you can respond to Israel's violence is with violence. And that's unfortunate. That's a choice that the Israelis, you know, have made. 248-557-3300 is our number here at Radio Ballady. I'd love to hear what you have to say about what's happening in Egypt. I know there are a lot of Coptic Christians in Detroit, too. There are a lot of them in Chicago. They have several Coptic Christian churches out here, and I know that they're organizing a protest against Morsi. And I think it's legitimate. I just don't think we should be doing anything to support, or encourage violence, in Egypt. I think it's the wrong thing to do. 248-557-3300 is our number. Also, you know, I was kind of lamenting, you know, the ineffectiveness and the lack of leadership that the Arab community has in Chicago. There's like a power vacuum. We really don't have any real, strong Arab voice in Chicago. And it's kind of hard to believe because there's so many Arabs in the Chicagoland area, something like 450,000 just in the Cook County, which is the one county that includes Chicago. And then in the six-county region, it's something like 600,000 Arabs. That's a lot of Arabs. Maybe there are 100,000 living in the Chicago area out of, 3 million people. It's very sad that we have nothing to show for our presence. You know, we came to Chicago in the middle of the 19th century in the 1800s. And we don't have a building. We don't have a festival anymore. We fought so hard to get it when Mayor Daley was the mayor. And he really wasn't that great of a mayor when it came to Arabs. He at least was a little sensitive, to the Arab community. And he did give us something. He did give us something. You know, breadcrumbs. And sometimes breadcrumbs are better than nothing. But breadcrumbs are not cake. You know, you don't collect breadcrumbs and go, wow, look at all our breadcrumbs. Let's make a sandwich. You're not going to make a sandwich with breadcrumbs. But when you have nothing, when you're poor and impoverished, like the Arab community in Chicago is, breadcrumbs can look like a Thanksgiving meal. And that's what it's been like living in Chicago. Sitting there at the dinner table eating breadcrumbs going, wow, we're thankful for what little we have. Because our leadership in Chicago is so ineffective. I've tried to work with, the leadership. I've tried to work in leadership positions. But before you can even do anything, and I guess maybe it's not our leaders, the fault of our leaders. It might be the fault of our own community. Our community will tear people down. Christians will not support Muslims. Muslims will not support Christians. Jordanians won't support Palestinians. Palestinians won't support Jordanians. Lebanese won't support Egyptians. Egyptians won't support Syrians. It just, we're like, we're very divided. We have such internal differences. The word Arab doesn't have any meaning. You know, it doesn't sound like the word Arab means anything to anybody. 248-557-3300 is our number in Detroit if you want to call in and share your view. We're broadcast live on the internet at radioaramica.com. If you want to listen to our show online, all you have to do, and I'm looking for that number and I apologize, all you have to do is dial on your cell phone. You can listen on your cell phone any place in the country by dialing 712-432-8008. 712-432-8008. You can listen live to Radio Ballady every Friday morning. You can listen to Good Morning Michigan every Monday through Thursday morning by dialing 712-432-8008. You can get more information at radioaramica.com if you want. If you go to our website at radioballady.com, you can get information on, we have book reviews about new books about, the Middle East that have come out. There's a link to the book review blog. You can get information on our advertisers if you want to support them. And I think you should. You should always try to help those that help us. You know, we need to learn to be supportive of each other. And it's very hard. It's very hard. When people disagree, they don't want to talk with each other. That's why it's so hard to bring democracy to Egypt. I think Egypt is going to go through some very difficult times, but I think in a way it's just part of the process. You know, Morsi's going to push as hard as he can, the way any politician, an elected official would, to see the limits of his power. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that people should be allowed to express themselves, and I'm hoping that's what they're doing in Egypt. But the protesters should not be allowed to resort to violence. That's probably the most tragic thing taking place in the Middle East. It is 40 minutes after the top of the hour. We're going to take another break, I think, and here at Radio Ballady. And if you want, we'll continue discussing some of these issues. Egypt, the Gaza, and the tragic plight of Arabs in occupied Chicagoland. The Chicagoland pathetic leadership and organization of the Arab community. It's very sad. And the Rahm Emanuel's anti-Arab policies, the new mayor of Chicago, I think he hates us. I don't think he does anything for us. It's been like a year or so, and he's done absolutely nothing for us except destroy everything that we've had. That's what he's done. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio. 248-557-3300 is our number. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Good news. As of November 17th, Immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Ballady. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings. Visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending review. It's time to get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Ballady. That's 617-283-1018.
Whether it's makluba, warak dawali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Jake's Candy, two for $1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2264. 223. That's 248-747-2223.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania. Our number is 248-557-3300. Let's go to the phone lines and welcome Issa. Issa, thank you for calling and thank you for hanging on.
Sabah al-khair.
Good morning. How are you?
All right. About Egypt.
Yes.
Morsi, he just took over from a corrupt government.
Yes.
And I see the demonstration, like I see the leader of the demonstration, like Al-Baradei.
Right.
And they take an order from Ahmad Shafi.
Yeah, it's like they're not happy with the... They're trying to use this to topple the newly elected president, doesn't it sound like? Or what do you think is happening? Do you think the protesters are going too far?
Yes, well, people, they're not working, and they're being used. Right? Now, Morsi has to put people to work, first of all. And nothing wrong with being, you know, applying the Sharia. Saudi Arabia, living with the Sharia.
Right.
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, and but Egypt is a democracy now. They allow, you know, I mean, they elected a president. Shouldn't we give him a little support to try to help him? Don't you think?
Give him all the support we can.
We should try to help him because, you know, Mubarak's people are still in control of the military, of the Supreme Court, you know, of all these different things, and they're trying to undermine his government. I don't think it helps when the protesters use violence against, you know, his government. I think it's wrong. It's okay to protest, though, right? I mean, people have the right to protest, but don't use violence.
Most of the people in the Tahrir Square, they are well-to-do people, like they work music, whatever, you know, they're well-to-do. I see rakkasat, dancers, or nothing wrong with that.
Right.
They work about their own situation. I mean, like something's going to happen, he's going to cut this program, you're not allowed. Like Steward Airline, they're supposed to...
Right, he wants to prevent women from...
Nothing wrong with that.
Well, I would disagree. I mean, listen, I would disagree, but that doesn't mean that I would think that we should use violence to protest. I think that they have a democracy... The majority rules. I would not agree with discriminating against women because, you know, I'm a Christian. I don't agree with, some views.
Culture.
Yeah. Well, it's a cultural thing. You're right. It is a cultural thing. But still, shouldn't we kind of be more democratic and open? You don't discriminate against women, do you?
I see a Christian demonstration today. Most of the ladies, they have Rab al Sahat. We square today, most of them Christian. They are afraid, worried that Morsi will attack the Christian.
Yeah, and I think that is there's a fear there, but they should use the system to stop them, the law, not protests or violence.
Look who was behind the bombing of the churches in Alexandria.
Yeah.
In Cairo. It was the Mubarak regime.
Yeah, it's a sad situation, isn't it, in Egypt? It's kind of sad.
We have fanatic people. We're going to put a stop to that.
On both sides, right.
And, when people go to work, now when Amr Moussa or Al-Baradei call on, Al-Baradei just came from Europe.
Yeah.
He want to be president.
Yeah, and Amr Moussa did a lousy job as leader of the Arab League. You know, he was not a good leader. He was a terrible leader. He did nothing. He was the boss of the Arab League for 10 years. And what did the Arab League do except make themselves an embarrassment?
Yes. Look, Morsi, what he did in Gaza, he supported Gaza?
Of course. Listen, I'm Christian. I think Morsi is a good president. I don't agree with everything that he does. And, you know, there are ways to, you know, respond that are used in democracy. If President Obama does something tomorrow that I don't like, I don't go out and destroy a neighborhood. I become politically active, and then I vote for change. That's what they should be doing in Egypt.
George Sabra, the counselor of Morsi, he resigned. He shouldn't resign.
I agree. He shouldn't resign. He should have stayed there and worked with them.
We are applying democracy. Need more representation. Present yourself. See? That's what we after. Look what in Syria. We don't want another Syria in Egypt. We don't want another Syria. See? And I don't know if we could jump from subject to another. I
mean, no, that's okay. Go ahead.
We all failed to have a solution in Syria. See, some of us with Iran, some of us with Assad or Russia, the big power, they are after their own interest. Look at Russia now. See, they're neglecting Assad. See, now they said we support the people, not the government. So they are worried about like what they call the Muslim tide in the area. They protect themselves.
They could be, though, in Assad's case, it'd probably be best if he would step down, or if he really cared about the Syrian people, he might open the door to real elections and maybe bring an end to the conflict by opening up and being democratic. But
the power, he's a dictator. He won't step down like Gaddafi.
Right.
Now, I blame Iraq, Iran, Jordan, you see.
They're babies. They don't do anything. Jordan is the worst. What does Jordan do?
We support not the leader. We support the people. We support Syria.
Yeah.
Syria. Now, the Chinese, they don't care about Syria. The Russians, they don't care. They just want to sell weapons.
You said, listen, thank you so much for calling.
Yes.
And I appreciate you expressing your views. I agree with a lot of them. Some we disagree, but, you know, you do it in such a good way, and I appreciate it.
Give him a chance. If not, then we demonstrate. Give him
a chance.
Right. 100 years or 100 days he's in office or over. Give him a chance.
All right. Thank you, Issa. I agree. That's Issa calling at 248-557-3300. He says give Morsi a chance, and I can't agree with him more. I agree with him. Let's go to Jamal on the line. Jamal, thanks for hanging on there.
Hey, good morning.
Hey, how are you? So, I mean, there are three topics, Egypt, you know, the Hamas, and Rahm Emanuel is so offensive to me, the way we allow him to do whatever he wants, and the Arab community does absolutely nothing. It's just very depressing. I'm going to move to Detroit. Chicago stinks.
You always see the grass on the other side.
That's true. That's true. I'm sitting here in Chicago going, I'm moving to Detroit. And then when I get to Detroit, it's probably a bigger war over there than it is in Chicago.
Well, maybe you are at least right now an open war there, so you know who's you going to fight. Maybe here we're still not at that stage. Anyway, let's go back, you know, to Egypt and what's going on there. I like your view.
Yeah.
Here is that we all get to know. Egypt was tested, the president of Egypt was tested during the Gaza fiasco a couple of weeks ago.
Right.
And it probably most likely his luster for peace and, you know, a solution and his push, you know, to end the suffering without any political connection to the suffering, meaning, you know, the people gotta be taken care of. I mean, there is war, there is conflict, fine, but the people must be taken care of. I think, you know, he failed in that area, and some people views that they want him to be extremist. They want him to look like, you know, he's bad leader. And the face of the West, I think, you know, they failed to label him like that. So now the easiest way is to attack him in the, you know, in the street of Egypt and create chaos over there, because stability for the Arab government over and you know, inducing a somehow semi-democratic, whatever democratic is, it's going to show the face of Islam. It's going to show the face of, you know, Islam is not violence. Islam is not something like you should fear of. There's a couple things here and there, cultural more than Islamic, may appear a little bit extreme, but in reality, other than Christian on Christians, and sometimes we have jokes that Muslims don't want to be. Muslim love to be Christian because it's easier on them, and Christians don't want to be Muslim because it's harder on them. And so, and you know, Muslim born Muslim, so it's like a shame if I want to go back and become a Christian because I'm choosing the easiest religion now. So it's really not there. So I think it's kind of like right now there's a fight to suppress the good image of the Arabs, of the Muslims right now. They don't want to see another, you know, maybe Islamic government exceed there in comparison with the Saudis, in comparison with other, you know, with those, what we call them, I don't know, you know, 500,000 people, and they have a seat in the, I mean, you know, Qatar to buy whatever, they're okay, but, I mean, you know, they're ruled by the Islamic Sharia, however, Saudi Arabia and just a couple of days, I was talking to one of my friends, and she said, you know, her sister-in-law couldn't fly unless she had a man to fly with her over there. Just like something like that, which is, I mean, fine, but the Islamic government in Egypt, it looks very decent, democratic. They're trying to do the best they can. You know, his last move towards, you know, trying to establish a democratic Islamic government.
I know that a lot of the Coptic Christians are upset, but I still don't agree with how excited they are to bring down the Morsi government, because he represents, you know, this fight represents a Christian versus Muslim battle in Egypt, and it shouldn't be that way. You know, the Christians, if they didn't win, their candidate didn't win, they should still, you know, learn how to engage in democracy and not, you know, Morsi is not a dictator like Mubarak, you know, and I'm just surprised at how quickly our people always turn to violence when they don't like something. You know, we say we want democracy, but when we don't use it, we don't use democracy, we should. So I don't know. It's very disappointing.
The Copts in Egypt, being there for ages, they are part of the structured society over there. They're not going nowhere.
Right.
There's always issues in terms of when you are a minority in a country. I mean, you know, everybody forget that, you know, the Prophet Muhammad's wife was a Christian.
Yeah.
Khadija was a Christian. I don't think, you know, the general population believes or actually buy into this religion fraction. I think they are somehow working on behalf of somebody. This is what I think. And Egypt can survive because you know, without Egypt, there will be no solution in the Middle East. I think, you know, the more stable Egypt, the more independent Egypt, the more democratic Egypt, the more we are going to be near solution, peaceful solution for the situation in the Middle East.
All right, Jamal, listen, thank you for calling. We're at the end of the show, but thank you.
Have a good day.
You too, man. We'll talk to you. I want to thank everybody for listening and allowing me to come into your homes and your cars and in your businesses to share some views. I know we only have about a minute left, but remember, you can go to RadioBallady.com to get more information. I want to hear your feedback. Go to TheMediaOasis.com if you want to get information on the blogs, a story about Rahm Emanuel. That's TheMediaOasis.com. Or go to Hanania.com. You guys have a great week, and I'll be back next Friday talking more about issues facing the American Arab and Muslim community. You guys take it easy. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
WNZK.
WNZK has available a few good hours of the